Talk STL continues on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com with more conversation about food, wine, beer, restaurants, cooking, kitchens, food shows on TV, food trucks, and farmers markets. Here's David Craig.
Broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios here at KFNS in Webster Groves. And earlier we gave away a copy of the book called Deary. It's a biography of Julia Child. It was published in hardback last August at the time of her 100th anniversary. And actually I'll give away two copies right now. Callers number, let's say 4 and 5 at our studio numbers, which are area code 314-969-0590. The book is written by Bob Spitz, who wrote a great Beatles biography that I read about 7 or 8 years ago. It's a big book. It's an exhaustive biography. And, you know, tells you all of her story. So if you'd like to win that, call us now at 314-969-0590. Joining me in studio is attorney Kyler Humphrey of Polsinelli. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's the name of the law firm. All right. And I met you last year. Chris Summers of Pie Pizza spoke to the Missouri Venture Forum out at Greenbrier Country Club, and you were there. You are his attorney. Have you repped him, I guess, since he started in town?
Yes, since his first restaurant.
Sharp guy. Very sharp guy. And what would you want to say about Chris Summers to everybody and Pie Pizza?
Well, Chris, first, he knows his shortcomings when he first came into the restaurant business. He was a tech very much of a techie, and he'll tell you that.
Right.
But,
oh, yeah.
He has surrounded himself with great employees. His great concept. He took the concept that he found in San Francisco, a pizza that he fell in love with, modified it some, brought it to St. Louis, and now has, oh gosh, 4 locations in St. Louis, and went to the District of Columbia. Has a beautiful, of course, everyone knows the history of his association with the President Obama.
Yes.
So, he opened a restaurant in the District of Columbia, and it's very successful. He's doing very well.
Well, as he mentioned in that talk, I guess he was on the Obama bandwagon like early 07, even before Barack Obama was on the radar for a lot of people, when everybody just kind of presumed it was going to be Hillary who would get the nomination. Or somebody.
He followed him in the Iowa caucuses.
Yeah.
From the very beginning.
Okay, so you work with a lot of restaurants. And do you generally work with people before they get into the restaurant biz, or do they call you when they've got issues?
Well, generally it's before they get into the business. A lot of what is in the restaurant business, the issues, the legal issues that face the independent restaurateur, let's talk about them first. So the whatever applies to them, there's a lot of overlap with the closely held and family-owned businesses. But there are those issues that are unique to the restaurateur. So when he comes to us, many times he knows none of the legal issues, issues with respect to the leases, employment issues, contracts, but they have a concept on how to deliver the food product, mm-hmm. or what they're doing, and then they'll come to us. And then based on past experience, we can hopefully add something to the mix.
Are most of their legal issues related to the initial lease and, you know, the man or woman who owns the building? And are some of those leases, maybe, do you kind of negotiate away some restrictions and such, or what?
The lease is probably one of the first issue, because they find a location.
Right.
And sometimes they may fall in love with the location to their own detriment. So
yes,
the lease is the first issue. In probably the most significant issue today in these economic times, it's a very boring section in the lease, but it's called the subordination, non-disturbance and atonement provision. Someone go, what is that? Well, that's the SNDA. And we see many people who ignore that. That basically indicates that in the event the owner of a building, and in today's market, if they were to lose the building by virtue of a foreclosure, a bank takes it back, or a third-party person acquires the building or the real estate at a foreclosure, the restaurateur could lose the premises. So there is a provision in the lease that they would make many times overlook that basically says, in the event that is to occur,
mm-hmm.
the restaurateur agrees that his space, his lease, is subordinate to the lender. The lender says, I will not disturb you in the event that my borrower defaults.
Gotcha.
As long as you pay the rent. So this is a unique third-party agreement that sometimes is overlooked. That's probably one of the most significant things today in today's adverse economic times.
Kyler, do many of your restaurant clients have issues with their neighbors in terms of, I mean, there's a lot of restaurants that are in residential areas. You think like Soulard and the West End, where you've got, here's a restaurant, and look, here's an apartment complex, or, you know, some nice private homes. Is this a big issue for places?
I have not encountered that, because generally if it's the zoning is appropriate, then okay. They don't have the issues. In Clayton, some of the restaurants have had some issues with respect to smoke.
Yeah.
So they'll have smoke eaters. They'll have to put in a smoke eater. That becomes very expensive sometimes.
Okay.
So there will be those requirements. Clayton has that requirement.
And dealing with governments, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air here about food trucks and all the municipalities out there. Are there municipalities that, and you don't have to name names here, that are problematic for restaurant owners? And are there some that are just incredibly accommodating?
In the city of St. Louis, of course, we're dealing with one governmental body, so mm-hmm. that's easier, although you have... there's a paradox there, because you're in the restaurant business, and at the same time, the restaurateurs complain about the food trucks sometimes in the city.
Right.
In St. Louis County, we have over 100 municipalities, so the problem for the food trucks in St. Louis County is going from Kirkwood, for example, to Manchester. There are different requirements for the health department, the sales taxes, the collection of the taxes that might go to Kirkwood on one weekend would go to Baldwin the next weekend is very, very problematical for the food truck industry in St. Louis County.
Oh, yeah, I know that, you know, just going from, getting a cup of coffee at a Starbucks, say, in Valley Park, and then going up and getting it from a Starbucks in Kirkwood or, you know, another municipality. Wait a minute, that cost a dime more here? Okay, yeah.
Correct.
Well, and for bricks and mortar, now, you've been doing this for a while. With Mayor Slay, you know, his family, I guess, I know he worked in the restaurant biz earlier in his life, but there are so many Slays in the restaurant biz around town. Did things change for the restaurant industry when he took office 12 years ago? I mean, has he greased the skids and made things a little easier for him?
Not that I could tell. And I know, of course, you know, his father was was in the restaurant business. His uncles were in the restaurant business. Slays on was it Hampton, I believe.
I interviewed him a few years ago and asked him about his family in the restaurant biz, and he just went on for a while there. It was like at the beginning of Matthew in the New Testament with all the begots and just a lot of folks involved there.
Years ago, I was in business with his brother, Raymond Slay. So Raymond was also in the restaurant business with us. So.
Well, now, do you want to mention your involvement in the restaurant biz in St. Louis?
Well, the good news and the bad news, you mean?
Oh, no. Is there good news and bad
news? Oh, sure. There's good news and bad news. That's
okay,
why.
Okay. Well, I know you're involved over here with Cyrano's, right?
Only as their attorney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Represented Charlie Downs, and Charlie Downs and I have been in the restaurant business as partners for years. But the good news is there are some winners and some losers, which is not unusual in this business.
Okay. So what is your bad news?
My bad news is, well, let's see. I was a partner and an owner with Revival. I don't know if you knew about Revival. I know you had Carrie McDowell was on the
station. Is that down on Shoto? Yeah.
Yeah. We were voted number one new restaurant of the year. And 12 months later, we were closed. So that's the good news and the bad news.
Ow. Okay. And that's your bad news. Your good news.
That's what makes me an expert. I know how to lose money in the restaurant business.
Have you had somebody who you know, you they come in and you sit down and you talk to them that you've actually talked out of getting into the biz? It's like, I don't think you're quite ready for this.
Not so much that they aren't ready, but that they have missed some very significant issues. There are, I won't name the individual, but sure, I've just recently met some people. When I've looked at their business plan, their mm-hmm. pro forma, it was clear to me that, for example, go back to the lease, that their lease percentage as a percentage of the gross revenue was 15 to 16%. I knew that was above industry standards, that their labor cost was out of line in their pro forma.
Sure.
And based on the space that they were looking at, I indicated to them I thought that was not going to, their plan wasn't going to work, that they were going to lose money from the start. So they backed away from that location.
Okay, and you were involved with our friend George Mahey.
Yes.
Right, as a partner in an Emo's.
At the Lake of the Ozarks, yes.
Yeah, and did you work down there? Did you cook down there and do all of that stuff too?
No, I was smarter than that. I left that to George Mahey and Charlie Downs. They did the hard work.
Oh, okay. No, George has some great, spectacular restaurant stories from that, and I guess his other endeavors around town.
Yes, George is very knowledgeable.
Are you a partner in a restaurant currently, or
not anymore? My okay. wife has made sure that I don't invest in restaurants any longer.
Okay, and you mentioned to me, I'd asked you, I guess, on the phone about one that there's sort of a partnership dispute here in town, and you said, I actually can't comment on that, that when people get into a partnership, getting into a restaurant, you know, you have some money, you know, your dad gives you some money, your uncle, and then, you know, you go out. Are there any things that you might tell people to avoid or to be careful about when you're setting up a partnership, especially with people you don't know real well?
Probably not to do it on a handshake. That's probably the bottom line. Make sure it's in writing. And that is more significant today because of the banking. I mean, restaurateurs will tell you, I'm sure, almost uniformly, that they can't get financing. You know, if you're going to borrow money to start a restaurant, you're going to use collateral other than the restaurants, the tables, the chairs, the walk-in coolers. That's not going to work for a bank today. So it's going to be friends and family, and so you have to make sure that those agreements are reduced to writing.
Even if you're borrowing some from your uncle, you should have it in writing.
Probably even more so if it's from your uncle.
I would think that would be pretty much a common thing, but then I guess folks do kind of do it sort of like that. Hey, I'm getting a signal that my time is up. Kyler Humphrey from Polsinelli, if people want to contact you, anybody in the biz?
Give me a call. Send their menu.
All right. Okay, there you go. That's Kyler Humphrey from the Polsinelli. Used to be Polsinelli Shugart, but now it's just everybody's simplifying.
You're ahead of the times. We're changing the name.
We're editing. Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan KFNS. We'll see you back here Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Thank you for listening.